Thank you, Laura.
Beautiful.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Glenn's going to lead us today in a message, and we noticed right away that we dressed alike.
Did y'all call each other?
So important.
Be like-minded.
Like-minded. See what the church does, brings us all together.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
The World Cup.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you this morning. Ray, Jesse, so good to see y'all. We're so sorry to hear about Linda's passing, but you know, it's good to know that she's with the Lord.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
That's right.
And we know that she's rejoicing right now, and she's dancing, and there's coming a day when we'll see her again.
Amen.
Many of us have known Linda for many, many years, and she just brought so much joy and happiness to the world. Beautiful singing voice, praise and worship leader, beautiful guitar player, beautiful wife and mother. We're all going to miss her deeply, but again, it's just so good to know that she's with the Lord.
Amen.
I've simply entitled this message Spiritual Gifts, and I'd like to begin by reading from 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life, and the spiritual gifts for building up the church. What a generous and loving God you are, and may we always use the gifts that you've given us to build up one another in faith and to bring glory and honor to you. Use me as your vessel to speak words of grace and encouragement to your people today. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All organizations, whether it's a business, a company, a sports team, a school, or a church, all organizations have something in common. They all consist of a group of people who have very different skills and abilities, but who are all working together for a common goal. For example, think of a football team. Each player on a football team has a different function that he's particularly good at. The quarterback is gifted at leading the team. He's good at reading the field and calling the plays needed to move the ball down the field toward the goal line. His greatest strength is passing the ball. That's his primary gift. But that doesn't mean he can't do other things if it becomes necessary. For example, he can do a kicker's job and punt the ball. He can do a receiver's job and run the ball. Or if the other team intercepts the ball, he can do a tackle's job and try to bring down the player carrying the ball. But his main strength is calling plays and passing the ball. That's what he's best at. In baseball, pitchers are very good at throwing the ball to the plate. That's their gift. But sometimes pitchers have to do other things as well. They may have to prevent base runners from stealing bases. They may have to catch a ball that's been hit to the mound. When their team is at bat, the pitcher takes his turn at bat and tries to hit a pitch off of the other team's pitcher. But their main strength, their gift, is throwing the ball to the plate and striking out batters. That's what they do best. So all the players on a sports team have their own special abilities, but they're all working together toward the same goal, and that is to win the game.
Amen.
It takes every position and all the skills working together in unity as a team if the team is to be victorious. It's no different in a church. A church isn't comprised of quarterbacks or receivers or linebackers. And a church isn't comprised of pitchers and basemen and outfielders, but a church is comprised of a group of people, that's you and me, each of whom have special strengths and skills and abilities given to us by the Holy Spirit. These abilities are called spiritual gifts, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. As a child, I grew up in a Baptist church. Now, I have absolutely nothing bad to say about the Baptists. God bless the Baptists. They taught me that there's a heaven and there's a hell. They taught me that the way to heaven is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And they taught me that the Bible is the divinely inspired word of God.
Amen.
So I have nothing bad to say about the Baptists. But they didn't teach me much about the spiritual gifts that God gives every believer so that we can help and encourage and strengthen each other. But God wants us to know about spiritual gifts. So I'd like for us to look now at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. God plainly tells us in this verse that He doesn't want us to be uninformed when it comes to spiritual gifts. He wants us to know about them. He wants to give them to us, and He wants us to work together in unity as a team and use these gifts to build up and help and encourage one another. Let's continue reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with verse 4. Verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Or let's look at another scripture, Romans 1, 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, where Paul writes, "For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord." Amen. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has a special spiritual gift waiting for you, and He's eager to give it to you. But what is a spiritual gift? Different people use the term differently. What the gifts are called, how many there are, how to categorize them, how exactly they operate, it all depends on who you talk to. And that's okay, because God won't be limited. And just about the time we think we completely understand God's thoughts and His ways, He will surprise us with something new. The verse we opened with talks about God's great variety of spiritual gifts, and no matter how hard we try to reduce God to a rigid set of rules and procedures, He refuses to be limited. We can't fit God in a box. He created the box.
Amen.
He decides what's in the box.
Yes.
As hard as we might try, we can't describe God and the working of His Holy Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." God and His written word, the Bible, are not computer programs. You don't hit the enter key and expect God to do the same thing the same way every time. God doesn't operate according to a checklist. He has a mind of His own, and He has plans and ways that we're not even aware of. We are his servants and his children. Our job is not to argue with him and question everything he does. Our job is to trust and obey.
Amen.
And to be faithful with the gifts and the talents that he gives us, and to use them to make an investment in the kingdom of God and in each other's lives. Spiritual gifts are mentioned in several different places in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit that reveal God's power and demonstrate God's power. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Ephesians chapter 4 refers to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as being gifts given to the church to build up the church and to equip it to do God's work. We could spend weeks talking about all of the spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament, and sometime we might, but not today.
Amen.
Today I want to focus on the spiritual gifts described in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. This is going to be our focus today. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church 2,000 years ago, but they're just as applicable to Turning Point Church today as they were to the church in Rome 2,000 years ago. Verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Amen.
This scripture describes seven distinct gifts that God gives to his people. Seven different skills and talents and abilities that, when working together in unity, like the players on a football team, strengthen the body of Christ and build up the church. So, Susie, I'd like for you to put up slide one, if you would, please. These seven gifts are prophecy, serving, or some Bibles call it ministry, teaching, encouragement, or some Bibles call it exhortation, giving, leadership, and kindness, or some Bibles call it mercy. As I mentioned earlier, there are other spiritual gifts besides these. A scripture we read earlier talked about God's great variety of spiritual gifts, so this list isn't intended to include all of them. But for purposes of today's message, we're going to stick to these seven spiritual gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 6 again. Susie, if you could put verse 6 back up, thank you. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Let's stop right there. The Greek word for gift in this verse is charisma. Charisma, which literally means a gift of grace. The word charisma occurs about 10 times in the New Testament, and it refers to the spiritual gifts given by God to believers for various purposes within the body of Christ. Charisma is not a gift that we work for or earn. It is a gift freely given to us by the grace of a generous and loving God. And all God requires of us is that we be willing to receive it. Turning Point Church is a charismatic church, which means that we acknowledge the spiritual gifts, we acknowledge the charisma, and we receive them and we operate in them in order to help each other and to strengthen the church. A spiritual gift is a special ability that God gives you, something you have a talent for, something you're good at, something you're skilled at, something that really excites you and motivates you and gives you satisfaction in your work for the church and for the Lord. Generally speaking, God gives us one main or primary spiritual gift. Now, he may sometimes call on us to operate in one of the other gifts, like the quarterback who sometimes has to make a tackle, but there's usually one gift that's really dominant. That's your spiritual gift. And a verse that we read a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 12:7, tells us why God gives us spiritual gifts. Let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can what?
Help each other.
Well, that's the purpose of the spiritual gifts. It's that simple. Just as the members of a football team help each other, just as the members of a baseball team help each other, God gives us special, spirit-inspired skills and abilities, but not so that we can think of ourselves as better or holier or more spiritual than anyone else. He gives us a gift so that we can use them and work together as a team to get the ball across the goal line and achieve victory. So now I'd like to go into a little more detail about each of the seven spiritual gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12. The first gift on the list is prophecy. Susie, if you'd put up slide 2, please. The first gift on the list is prophecy. Now, to some people, prophecy means having the ability to see the future. Now, that can certainly be a part of the prophetic gift, but for the most part, having the gift of prophecy simply means being able to clearly hear from God and relay His words and His will to the church. A prophet views the church from God's perspective. God shows the prophet things that are going wrong in the church or things that are going right. And the prophet takes what he or she has received from the Lord and shares those things with the body. I'm sure we've all heard prophets speak in this church and in others. The prophet will often stand before the church and begin with something like, "Thus says the Lord," or "The Lord would say to us," or "The Lord would have you know." The message given by a prophet can sometimes be a warning or a rebuke about something in the church that needs to be corrected. But the message can also be one of encouragement and reassurance, things that the church is doing well and that please the Lord. Amen. The second gift on the list is serving, or some translations call it the gift of ministry. This gift is exactly what it sounds like. The person with the gift of serving has a strong desire to help out around the church and to support the leadership and serve the members of the congregation in any way necessary. In fact, the first mention of people with the gift of serving is in the book of Acts, where the apostles appointed 7 men and gave them the job of making sure that everyone in the church had something to eat and drink when they met together for meals. The apostles called these men deacons, which comes from a Greek word that simply means server. The deacons basically waited tables, although I'm sure they did many other things around the church as well, so that the leadership could devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. More often than not, those with the gift of serving work in the background. They're not very visible. They don't need or expect a lot of attention or praise or accolades. They just go about their tasks quietly and efficiently, and they're always more concerned about the needs of other people than they are about their own. It comes as no surprise that most of the deacons in a charismatic church typically have this gift. In some of the denominational churches, like the Baptist churches that I grew up in, though, the deacons were part of a committee that hired and fired the pastor. But I don't believe that fits at all the biblical definition of a deacon.
That's right.
Nope. Biblically speaking, the deacon's role is to serve, not to rule.
Amen.
And you don't have to have the title of a deacon in order to have the gift of serving.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
The third spiritual gift on the list is teaching. Teaching, which as it happens is my spiritual gift. The person with the spiritual gift of teaching loves to study and explore the written word of God, the Bible, and discover the truths contained in it. The person with the gift of teaching loves Bible studies and word studies and derives joy from exploring God's word and extracting truth from it and then sharing that truth with others, usually in small settings. You might think that most pastors would have the spiritual gift of teaching, but I personally don't think that's the case. I personally think that most pastors tend to have either the gift of encouragement or the gift of leadership, which makes them well equipped for being out front and preaching and organizing and ministering to large groups of people.
Yeah.
People with the gift of teaching, on the other hand, are typically more comfortable in smaller settings like home groups or youth groups or Sunday school classes or children's church. A lot of Sunday school teachers and children's church teachers have the gift of teaching. They love imparting the knowledge of God and the truth of God to young people and to children. The fourth spiritual gift on the list is encouragement, or some translations call this the gift of exhortation. This gift is exactly what it sounds like. People with the gift of encouragement are the boosters and the cheerleaders of the church. They are the people who are upbeat and positive and full of faith and hope and optimism, even when other members are faltering and are running low on faith and hope. People with the gift of encouragement have a strong desire to help others trust God and to be steadfast in faith and to persevere even in the most difficult situations. They encourage people to stay true to the faith and to keep going and not give up. It's been my observation that many pastors and praise and worship leaders have the gift of encouragement. Pastors are skilled at preaching uplifting sermons and messages that inspire people and motivate them to keep following the Lord. Praise and worship leaders with the gift of encouragement are skilled at lifting up people's hearts and spirits through music. But many others have the gift of encouragement also. You may not be a pastor or a praise and worship leader, but you know how to greet someone at the door. You know how to smile at someone and shake their hand and make them feel welcome. You know how to take flowers or a card to someone who's sick in the hospital. And you know how to sit with someone who's hurting and pray with them and offer them a Kleenex and tell them that things are going to get better. Those are just a few examples of someone who's operating in the gift of encouragement. The next spiritual gift on the list is the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Now, it goes without saying that God expects us all to be givers. But for the person with the spiritual gift of giving, giving is their primary motivation. It's what they love to do. They have an extremely generous nature. They find fulfillment and satisfaction in giving liberally of their money, their time, and even their possessions. They look for opportunities to share what they have with those in need. Now, it's important to understand that a person doesn't have to be wealthy in order to have the gift of giving. In fact, sometimes the most generous people are those who have the least to give. But they give anyway because that's what the Spirit compels them to do. It's their motivation. For them, giving is an act of worship. It's an act of faith, and they trust God and rely on Him to make up for what they've given away. The next spiritual gift on the list is leadership. The person with the gift of leadership is skilled at organizing people and helping them to work together to achieve a common goal. The person with the gift of leadership is also good at providing people with opportunities to exercise their own spiritual giftings. Most people want to help each other and contribute to a church's mission, and a good leader gives people opportunities to do that. I've heard it said that one of the best ways to retain people and keep them from leaving a church is to give them something to do. Give them a responsibility that makes them feel needed and valued. When people feel like they're making a contribution and they're needed, they're less likely to leave. I think that many pastors have the spiritual gift of leadership. In fact, can someone tell me what the word pastor means? Sorry? What did you ask?
I said leader.
Well, no, not quite. Pastor. Literally, what does pastor mean?
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Thank you. The word pastor means shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd who leads the sheep, you and me, toward a common destination, right? The last spiritual gift listed in Romans chapter 12 is the gift of kindness, or some translations call this the gift of mercy. The person with the gift of kindness is motivated by compassion. They may not be great Bible scholars, they may not have 10,000 scriptures memorized, they may not have great administrative or leadership abilities, but they are very sensitive to the needs of others. And they can spot a person in need from a mile away, and the Holy Spirit gives them a desire and an urge to help people in need. A good example in Scripture of someone with the gift of kindness is the Good Samaritan. Even when everyone else crossed over to the other side of the road and kept walking and pretended not to see that injured man bleeding and lying on the ground, the Good Samaritan stopped what he was doing, and he went and tended to that man's wounds and even paid money out of his own pocket to give the man a place to stay while he healed and recovered. That's the key characteristic of the person with the gift of kindness. They will charge in and show compassion to others even when others won't. Now I'd like to give you what I hope is a fun little illustration of how people with the seven spiritual gifts might react to the same situation. And so Susie, if you would put up slide 9, thank you. And for this, I need 7 volunteers with good, strong, loud reading voices. I need 7 volunteers to come and line up right here, and face this direction. So I need 7 on you. And if I don't get them, I'll start calling them on you.
Is it small print or large print?
So Vivian, if you come stand right here. Dawn, you get behind her. Karen. Rosie.
Well, we got 7.
Laura,
2, 3,
what we
4,
got here.
5, 6. Oh, there's the camera.
Okay. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. That's right. The men are being shy today, aren't they? Except for Marcos.
Stand up and be counted.
We're with you, Marcos.
Okay. Now I need an eighth volunteer, Anthony. Okay. I want you to stand right here, face Vivian, and hold this tray.
I'm pretty sure I'd die if I did.
All right. Here's the scenario. 8 members of Turning Point Church have decided to go to lunch at Luby's. They go through the line, and they're all carrying their trays to the table when suddenly, oops, Anthony drops his tray. The tray and all the food on it goes crashing to the floor. It makes a terrible noise, and all the food and drink goes flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, the other 7 members of Turning Point Church come up to poor Anthony, and they begin operating in their spiritual gifts.
Okay.
And we're going to hear what each one of them says to Anthony after he spilled his food. So what I want you to do is I'm going to hand you a card. And when it's your turn, I want you to say your lines to Anthony and say them really loud and really clearly so that everyone here can clearly hear them. So Anthony has just spilled his tray of food, and now you 7 people with 7 different spiritual gifts are going to operate in your spiritual gift and say something to Anthony. So the first one is the prophet. What does the prophet say to Anthony?
I knew something like this was going to happen when I saw the way you were loading up your tray. I tried to warn you to be careful, but you wouldn't listen to me. Now look what's happened. I hope you know better next time.
Okay. All right, thank you, Vivian. You can return to your seat. Okay, the next person who comes up to Anthony is the server. What does the server say to Anthony?
Go ahead and sit down at the table and relax. I'll bring you another tray of food and replace the one you dropped. Then I'll go get a bucket and a mop to clean up the mess, okay?
All right, okay. The next person is the teacher. What does the teacher say to Anthony? Real loud.
Well, Anthony, this could have been prevented if you had held the tray with both hands and watched where you were going. Also, you shouldn't have put so much food on your tray and tried to carry it all in one trip. If your glass hadn't been so full, sitting so close to the edge of the tray, it might not have tipped over. Maybe you should ask someone at the checkout register to carry the tray for you next time.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Next up is the encourager. What does the encourager say?
Well, Anthony, sweetie, this is no big deal. And there's no need to be upset about it. I'm sure this kind of thing happens all the time. I know it does to me. Look at the bright side. None of the food was spilled on anyone, nothing got broken, and no one got hurt. There's no need to be upset about it. Here's a Kleenex. Wipe your eyes with. Now let's get you another tray of food, and you still have plenty of time to eat.
Next is the giver. What does the giver say?
Here, you can have some of my food. I've got more than I need. Or if you like, we can go through the line again and get you some more food. My treat.
Oh, that's great. Next up is the leader.
Said, Bob, go get a mop and bucket and clean up the mess. And go find a wet floor sign and set up so no one else trips or slips and gets hurt. Jim, go get another tray of food and replace the one that got dropped. And 4, I'm going to talk to the manager. Somebody at the checkout register should have been available to carry the tray for you. and shouldn't have dropped. I went back.
And then lastly, the kind person. What does the kind person say?
I'm so sorry this has happened to you. I can only imagine how embarrassing it must have been. I'm sure you're still hungry. Just have a seat and relax. I'll clean up the mess and get you some more food. Don't worry, I'll take care of everything.
Let's give our volunteers a hand. Thank you very much. And see, they're operating in the gift of serving right now. Thank you very much. Thank you again. Thanks to all of our readers. Now, I know this illustration may seem a little silly, but I hope that it gets across an important point. People with different spiritual gifts react to the same situation in different ways. It doesn't mean that you're right and they're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're in God's will and they're not. It just means that they're viewing the situation through the lens of their particular spiritual gift. But no matter what our spiritual gift is, and no matter what the circumstances are, we must never lose sight of the fact that everything we say and do must be done in love. And it must be done for the purpose of helping others and building them up. In fact, this didn't occur to me until just now, but the Lord just revealed to me that if we look at the list of the spiritual gifts, they're bookended by prophecy and kindness. The first gift on the list is prophecy. Thank you, Susie. The first one on the list is prophecy. The last one is kindness. God always tempers prophecy. God always tempers judgment with mercy.
Amen.
So the prophet may come across as harsh and unloving, but then mercy and kindness comes and says, yes, it happened, but it's going to be all right, and I can cover this, and I can take care of this.
Amen.
God always tempers his judgment with mercy. Now, even though we have one primary spiritual gift, God may sometimes call on us to operate in a different spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift may not be serving, but God expects us all to give generously, doesn't he? Yes. Your spiritual gift may not be teaching, but God expects us all to know his word and have a working knowledge of it. Your spiritual gift might not be leadership, but God might still put you in charge of organizing and leading a church activity. God has a way of stretching our faith and getting us out of our comfort zones. He wants us to be prepared to do his will in season and out of season. This means we must always be ready to operate in whatever gift is necessary, whether it's a good time for us or not. I suspect when the Good Samaritan stopped to help that wounded man on the road, the Good Samaritan probably had some place he needed to be. Probably had something he needed to go do. But he heard from the Lord, and he made time to stop and exercise his spiritual gift. And as a result, that man was blessed. I'd like to conclude the message today by reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, 6. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I love that phrase, fan into flames. We've talked about seven of the spiritual gifts today, the ones that are recorded in Romans chapter 12. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and kindness. There are others. Our God is a big God, and He renders to every man and woman the gifts that are needed for a particular time and place. But if you don't get anything else out of this message today, please understand that God wants you to have a spiritual gift. Amen. He wants you to exercise that gift. He wants you to fan that gift into flames. He wants you to find joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in that gift. And He wants you to use that gift to strengthen the church and to strengthen your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you would, please stand with me. The scripture we just read says that Timothy's spiritual gift was imparted to him by the laying on of hands. Maybe you have a very clear idea of what your spiritual gift is, but you haven't been putting it to use like God wants you to, and you need to fan it into flames. Or maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is, and you would like for God to show it to you and to impart it to you today and to empower you with His Holy Spirit to start operating in whatever gift that He gives you. If you want to fan your gift into flames or have God impart a gift to you and fill you with the power to operate in that gift, then I would like to invite you to come forward and let Jerry and me lay hands on you as Paul did for Timothy and pray for you to fill you with His gift and the power to use it. So if you want to make better use of your spiritual gift, or if you want to have a gift imparted to you, please feel free to come forward. Come forward, stretch across the front here. And Brother Jerry, if you could come help me.
Yeah, we might need 2 rows up here.
In fact, let's
2 rows.
We may need more room. Okay. So I'm going to move this camera.